God pours out his goodness, it just extends to all humanity. Because of God's great rescue mission to free us from the powers of sin and evil and death, even the powers of hell, that elevated all of humanity. The problem God is addressing is that humanity, in many ways, was separated from God. The first sin created a gulf, a separation, a chasm between us, which ultimately results in death. You know, death being we are cut off from the source of life. So the solution that God develops in his wisdom, which I will say is much wiser than I am, the solution that was developed was the incarnation. The solution was Jesus Christ, being perfect God and perfect human, who as being perfect human, he could be subject to the realm of death, that ultimate place where God was absent, and being perfect God could dissolve the powers of death from within. But the thing is, for this to work, and just the way that this works, for Christ to do this for one person, ends up doing it for everyone. Because in Christ's resurrection, the very powers of hell were broken. St. Paul alludes to a lot of this in his letter this morning to the Colossians. And to truly understand this passage, we need to understand the very works of Christ. St. Paul starts off with a phrase that you have been raised with Christ. He said, if you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. But it's very interesting there that he would start off by saying you have been raised with Christ. Because we all know the great mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And here we have this teaching from Scripture that you yourselves, all of us, have been raised with Christ. But to first understand that, we need to understand what Christ did. Because resurrection was not an afterthought. I can think of some times when I was younger attending some more evangelical churches, and there was a lot of focus there on the cross itself, on the Good Friday portion, which, yes, is very important. But right there, the idea that all of the work that Christ was doing, all the redemption work, happened right there, where Christ, rather, taking on the sins of humanity on that cross. And then I was finding myself asking, okay, but what about Easter? Something really important there. Something incredibly important. What I've found over the years is there is a much older teaching from some of the early theologians of the church who pointed out that Christ being human had that entry point to death or Hades or even hell. You can translate the same Greek in a couple of different ways. But ultimately, it was that place where God was absent. But being human, it gave him that entry point, and being God, he could destroy it from within. It was as if it was an incredibly dark place, there was no light whatsoever, nobody could see anything. And then Christ was there, the light of God, completely transforming it, just from his very nature, because the two could not coexist. Light could not coexist, or darkness did not exist in the presence of light. There is Christ bringing God's light to the place where it was absent, thus destroying hell, Hades, death from within. And one of the great consequences of this is that there's not much left of hell after that. When Jesus was there, he destroyed, he completely dismantled the powers of it. It's like where there is, I'm just using an analogy here. Imagine if there was this great big gate. This great gate guarded the entry point into hell, and people could come in, but they couldn't leave. And Christ, in escaping and being raised from the dead, didn't just find a little crack somewhere in the walls and slip his way through and leave it intact. No. What Christ did is as if that gate was blown completely open. So it was no longer a prison. No longer a place of torment, it's no longer a place where people were cut off from God. That is some incredibly good news, some incredible work there. I might liken it to what happened during the French Revolution, where they took possession of the Bastille. At the time when they stormed the Bastille, there were 7 people imprisoned in there, usually for political reasons. Although it wasn't just about the people there that they were freeing, it was the symbol of that Bastille that it communicated. It communicated certain people were in charge and other people were not. It communicated that people were subject to tyranny or to the whims of whoever was in charge. So in taking possession of it, they dismantled not only the prison, the idea of that prison. So we can establish what happened with Christ being resurrected from the dead. He blew apart the powers of hell. He nullified them from within. And St. Paul says, you have been raised with Christ, meaning you are a part of that. He goes on to say, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a statement when reading that in Scripture, it causes me to stop and pause for a moment. I have died? No, I haven't. Everybody else, no, we're alive, we're here. Just a simple observation with us, that is not the case. What he's alluding to here is a very deep theology of our baptism. One of the great mysteries of baptism is that we are united to Christ in his death and his resurrection. So Christ's victory over death means we are a part of that. We are meant to join in that victory, which is some incredibly good news, because it means we don't have to fear the power of hell. Just imagine for a moment a thought experiment, if you will, like we actually ended up there. End up in what was happened, the realm of the dead. But Christ has already been there. Where once there was darkness, now there's light. Where once there was a prison, there is a way out. Once those powers are broken, that place is not so scary. And being united to Christ, we know the way. That this is how he escaped, a big hole in the walls and the gates. So we escape in the same way that Christ escaped. Because of our baptism, we are united to him, both death and resurrection. So we don't even need to fear the powers of hell at this point. One of the great consequences that I see being united to Christ, and we have a lot of them, being united to Christ, our life is hidden in God, we have fellowship with the Father, just as Christ has fellowship with the Father. One of the other great things is that we become united one to another, become united to each other in Christ. As this passage this morning continues and wraps up, St. Paul describes how we are to live, you know, lays out things like impurity, slander, evil, malice, all those things, they lay those aside. And he talks about this great renewal. Because what does sin represent is a separation from God. He's saying this renewal, at that separation, we got healed and restored and renewed. And he says, in that renewal, there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. This becomes very, very important as well. Because just if we are united to Christ and say, Christ is up here, put my hand up pretty high, you know, we come and are united to Christ, we get to experience all the benefits of his death and resurrection. He's here, we are united to Christ. Means everybody else who's baptized is united to Christ as well. The great scandal of the gospel, meaning that the goodness of God spreads to all persons at all times. The great scandal is that goodness expands beyond what we can ask or imagine. The great scandal is that because there is a way out, that way out is there for everybody. And if we are united in baptism to Christ, we are united to everybody else. I can imagine it would take only the most depraved to refuse Christ's victory, or to reject that kind of goodness. Only the most hateful would reject that fellowship that comes through unity with Christ. Because of the reject of fellowship because of the other, so to speak. But the way the gospel works, and that it does work for humanity, is that St. Paul talked about Jew or Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, he says Christ is all and in all. And we can see it even in our Christian community here at St. Francis. And we come from all different places, north, south, islands, Africa, all over, Philippines. There's so many different people, but we all come together and are united in our church. It's a great symbol of humanity being united in Christ. Everyone is united in Christ. We are united one to another, because Christ is all and in all. So this great scandal is how God's goodness is shared by all. And just how huge God's goodness is. Whether we've earned it or not, whether we deserve it or not, God's goodness is there, transforming humanity. Christ's victory is something that affects everyone. He conquered the nature of hell itself, broke its powers. And because of our baptism, we join in this victory. We join in this victory, we are united to Christ, and we are united to one another. This is the great gift of God's goodness. The goodness that is expansive, all-encompassing. It brings us close to one another, brings us close to Christ, and shares Christ's victory. This is a great, great gift. Thanks.